Welcome back yet again to the Ramble Room. This is another installment on our series on the platform of the Wyoming GOP. The original discussion went on for close to 2 hours, and so we've decided to break it up into segments. Each of these segments has a similar intro so that each show will stand as a standalone show. If you are following this series and don't want to hear the intro each time, just skip to about 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Another special edition. Again, we are joined by David Iverson of
Cowboy State Politics.
Also with us today is Todd Windsor. Todd is state committeeman for Sheridan County. Diane is here with us too. There's been a lot of talk of late about how the Republican Party has been taken over by extremists. What we want to do is take a good look at the platform and what it actually says. A lot of people will hear that there's complaining that these radicals have taken over, but they don't necessarily know what these radicals have said. So we want to quote from the platform.
Before we get there, Ken, just an important point. A lot of the people that are accusing us of being radicals were part of the discussion about the platform at the last Wyoming GOP convention. In fact, they were in the meeting. It's those same folks that are now claiming that the party's been taken over by radicals.
The current platform that the party's using dates back to 2012, to the state convention, of which a number of people who are now whining about it were part of and approved the platform.
One of the important parts of the party platform is the very beginning, where it says we believe that there are timeless truths. And everything that you see in the Republican Party platform are things that most people generally agree on. We say that they're timeless because they're true, and they've always been true.
Wyoming was one of the first states to take its platform and distill it down and condense it so it fit on one piece of paper front and back at the most. The National Republican Party actually took the Wyoming platform as an example and took their national platform, which was like 70 pages, and distilled it down to a similarly short piece of work. And that was all because of what we did here in Wyoming.
So what I propose is that I will read a few of these articles and let you two comment on them. Military, item 14. It is incumbent on the federal government to maintain a strong military defense for the protection of our people, our interests, and our way of life. Those who serve our country honorably deserve our deepest gratitude, highest respect, and unwavering support. And when we're a little bit short on funds, we're going to go ahead and cut their tax break by a third.
That's not in there.
Oh, yeah, I added that last part. That's just a sore spot with me, is it?
I was going to bring that up if you didn't.
Yeah. That's part of our highest respect and deepest gratitude. And go to the VA hospital and look at how a lot of our America's finest are treated. There's your soapbox.
Well,
so,
can I have it back?
We need to keep in mind that the military and defense is, well, not so much the military, but defense of the country is enumerated in the Constitution. And it's one of the few, very few, enumerated duties of the federal government.
And yet woefully neglected.
Woefully neglected.
Taxes. All taxes collected must be used for the constitutional purposes of government. It is irresponsible to run up debts that are passed on. I'm sorry, it's hard. I know we mean this. That's why it's here. But in contrast to the reality of what is happening, it's just difficult to read this. It is irresponsible to run up debts that are passed on to our children and grandchildren. Taxes should never be more than necessary to meet the government's constitutional obligations. Have we not enslaved our grandchildren?
Absolutely, we have.
I think you need to add a couple generations to that. Probably. Like maybe great-great-grandchildren.
Maybe I was just using the term in a broader sense. But yeah.
And a couple of things on this. I mean, who would have seen this one coming? But you know, it's Republicans and Democrats who are responsible for violating this one. I mean, both parties spend like drunken sailors, or as Ronald Reagan said, not really, because the sailors are spending their own money.
Yeah. And they run out.
And they run out. Yeah. And the second thing, and I just love going back to this other group's website. Todd, you want to hear what they have to say about taxes?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Step back up on your soapbox so we can hear you.
This is fantastic. All right. We believe that taxation should be equitable and predictable. State and local government should work together to ensure a fair and sustainable tax system. Now, does that sound Republican to you?
No.
Sounds like buzzwords.
So my few lefty friends that I have believe that we should be thrilled about paying more taxes because it means we've had a successful life and we've benefited from all this country has to offer us.
So you should be able to take my money, my success, and give it to somebody else?
And you should be happy about giving it to me so I can give it to somebody else. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that
after you filter out 70 or 80%?
Oh yeah, well I got to filter
own...
out my lavish lifestyle, but yes. After that. Yes. Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. What does this evil country founded on slavery have to offer us? How do we benefit from that? That sounds a little convoluted to me.
Yeah, I don't know. But keep in mind, people tell me this grew up with a trust fund, so.
Oh.
The sarcasm light is flashing.
Well, and yeah. there's another word for all of this, you know, fair and equitable taxing, according to the Frontier Republicans. It's called theft. That's what that is. When you forcibly take something from somebody else that you did not earn, that you have no intention of paying back, and give it to somebody else that did not earn it and has no intention of paying it back, that's called theft. It's not taxation. Let's just call it what it is.
It would also help, I think, if maybe more people knew what the Constitution said that we were supposed to, that the government was supposed to be doing.
Oh, yeah. You mean that
constitutional purposes of government, yeah.
Right.
That's another important point there. And if you'll notice, a lot of the things that we're taxing, it'd be pretty difficult to find any of those in the Constitution.
Not just the taxing, but what we're paying for. What are the constitutional obligations?
Well, certainly abortion's one of them. I mean that's written all over the Constitution.
That's the first
right?
human right.
Now, first of all, the government didn't have any authority to levy taxes until 1919, so thank you, Democrats. It goes back to, you know, again, the government picking and choosing losers or winners. They choose losers, too. But why does government take tax dollars or steal money from people and then turn around and give it to nonprofit organizations? You know, like Planned Parenthood. Or I'll get in trouble for this one even closer to home. Why is the city government supporting the Chamber of Commerce in Sheridan County? You know, which typically those are supported by the members, the chamber members. But why is the city government giving them money?
They shouldn't be.
No. Well, I think it finally came to light, and I'm not sure if they've given any money yet this year, but they've always given them money.
That happens in Johnson County, too.
Oh, yeah.
And the city of Buffalo takes part of their 1% fund distribution and gives it to the Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm. You know, we give government money. I'll tell you a little story. Years ago, I went through one of those leadership programs. This happened to be in a town in Ohio. And we had what I would say government service day, where all these little groups that provide services to the public came and told us what they did. And a lot of them did the same thing. But they each had a little government department with government funding to do the good works that they were set up to do. And at the end of the day, they had the Salvation Army give a presentation. And the Salvation Army did exactly what every other group did without any taxpayer money. And I would argue they probably did it more efficiently and more effectively because they don't have layers upon layers of management. Mm-hmm. So, and their management's not paid very much. But it was kind of interesting that, you know, it gets back, the whole thing is that oftentimes a private party can do things way better and more effectively than the government can.
I've brought that up here in the Ramble Room many times.
Yep.
That if we weren't already paying taxes to accomplish something and therefore we don't go do it ourselves, if that were suddenly taken away, there were some private enterprises, some individuals, caring people who would step in there and do it much more effectively.
Well, you know, you can have that whole argument about such touchstones as education, or, you know, foster children, you know, all of those things.
If our education system is so good, why are our students so ignorant? It happens that the next article is on just that, education. The Wyoming Republican Party supports the teaching of the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of Wyoming, the Declaration of Independence, and other United States founding documents, as well as the factual history and heritage of the United States in Wyoming schools, and the historical evidence of the role of faith and biblical principles in the founding of our nation. That's pretty radical.
Extremist.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
So you guys want to hear what that other group has to say about education?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it's just
Does
wonderful.
It mention critical race theory?
Well, no.
Oh, okay.
But it's something far better.
What
says,
could be better?
And I quote, "We believe that evidence-based sex education and encouragement of abstinence should be provided in our schools, giving parents the ability to opt out should they disagree." Now, what they want to eliminate is that the family is the primary place of teaching those topics. So why is it that we're supporting teaching those things in school and not supporting the teaching of those in a family?
Well, when you have two men as parents, you might not get the complete story.
No.
Oh, well, I think they're more concerned about if you don't have two men as parents, they're not getting the complete story. Because you really have to know that that's a possibility, and that's a real family.
Well, and I think that the liberal progressive view of education is that, one, of course, they wouldn't admit to this, but it's the main tool of indoctrination that they use for our youth. You know, the Republican Party platform specifically mentions the Constitution and our founding principles and historical evidence and facts. Well, the truth is that the facts don't line up with most of what liberals want to do. In fact, they're probably in stark contradiction to that. So, I mean, obviously, we have to get rid of that in education.
Well, what you just read, was that an addition to this replaced it?
Yeah, well, there's additions and replacements and, you know, things that they don't agree with and still call themselves Republicans. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me, Diane.
I recently heard two educators talking to each other, and they were encouraging each other in modern educational philosophy. And one was saying to the other, it's not the end result. It's not the accuracy of the mathematics, for example, employed. It's how capable is the student at expressing himself.
Oh.
And I looked at him and I said, you know, that's exactly what's wrong with the world. You don't need to have an opinion as a student until you've been taught how to think and how to think critically and how to understand fundamental concepts that have gone before. And until you understand the same arguments that have been going on since well before Socrates, you're not entitled to an opinion in my book.
Well,
I'm cruel.
Go ahead, Todd.
I mean, one of the biggest failings of the education system nowadays is that they do not teach critical thinking. And they do not give students the foundation to have critical thinking. Because it does, as you say, it does go back to Socrates. It goes back to some of those basic philosophies, and they don't learn those. They're not taught those. Those are not important. I mean, this whole thing in this number 16 about, you know, an education in the Constitution and the Declaration and the founding of this country, they don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
All they get is that these white Europeans came over here and destroyed the Native Americans and enslaved black people, and that, you know, they didn't really do anything, but these slaves they had created this country. And weren't recognized for it and were killed. You know, that's what they get.
For centuries, wise people have debated certain concepts. And there's the old expression about those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it. People come up with these ideas and I think they're the first one that ever thought of it. And you get back and do a little bit of educating and you read someone who maybe is advancing this bright idea that you just had, and not hear all of the arguments in opposition to that, you're just blindly flailing starting over again at virtually nothing.
I if you ever, and I'm sure you have, tried to have a discussion with a left-leaning person.
Not on purpose.
Or even a young person, and it hit me, you know, a philosophical discussion, all that, you cannot have it. Mm-hmm. Because it's not really about facts or anything else. It's all about feelings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the moment you start throwing things out, like, you know, Socrates or all that, there's nothing left other than to start attacking you, because you haven't swallowed the Kool-Aid. And it's terrible, because, I mean, one of the joys of existing is having intellectual conversations with other people, especially if they disagree with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's somehow it's turned into a win and lose thing, which it's not. It's supposed to be an intellectual challenge.
Steel sharpening steel.
Yeah. You know, and I think most conservatives I know are, contrary to what we're told, are very open-minded and very willing to listen to the other side of the coin. And but the other side of the coin isn't willing to play that game.
Very seldom is it ever expressed very intelligently. As you said, it's all about feelings. And very quickly, if you get into discussion with most leftists, it just turns into a name-calling thing.
Well, you were called a Nazi earlier, so it turns into Hitler pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think he called me one.
Did he call you one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well.
And I can't even speak German.
I think that there, in education today, we are, and Ken, you brought this up, that we're teaching children what to think and not how to think. You know, by how to think, I mean to question everything. You know, the whole point of an education is to be able to ask, okay, why was Socrates' method correct? Why did Plato disagree with Socrates? Ask those questions. But instead, in education, we've turned it into a method by which to indoctrinate kids. That is, facts are irrelevant anymore, because frankly, the facts don't agree with much of what liberals advocate for. And the reason why conservatives are so willing to have the debate and to engage in an intellectual discussion is that we think that facts are important. You know, that it's important to know why our country was founded the way that it is, and not based on some ridiculous thing of 1619, and that we're all a bunch of racists. Well, the truth couldn't be further. I mean, the truth isn't further from that. I mean, it's so if you read Thomas Jefferson's original draft of the Declaration of Independence, the biggest portion of it is a tirade against slavery. And it specifically mentions how King George forced the colonies to continue slavery. And that was one of the major reasons why the colonies wanted to separate from England, because they could not abolish slavery. That's the truth. Now, the reason why it doesn't appear in the Declaration of Independence is that the southern colonies wouldn't sign it if it was still included. And there's this big, big lie in education today that the United States was founded on slavery and that we're all a bunch of racists. And you can read every single one of our founders, George Washington, all of them, denounce slavery. In fact, George Washington referred to his ownership of slaves as a blemish on his soul. And the whole reason he couldn't free them is because he was in debt up to his eyeballs from the American Revolution. Now, I'm not saying that that was right, because it obviously wasn't. But you have to view history and education in context. And what the Democrats and this other group that is likes to call us extremists do is they remove the context from just about everything. And that way they can push a narrative. Okay. A narrative is a story. It's something that's told from a different perspective, and it's not facts. So when we look at the Republican Party platform, it says based on facts and historical evidence, because those things are important, and they allow us to learn why our country is the way that it is. If you remove all of that, well, then you can call our country whatever you want.
But that's why I think we have to be careful about saying that we want our kids to be taught how to think and not what to think. Because before they can know how to think, they have to know what to think. And so when they're young, you are teaching them, here's what you should think because of these facts. Now, when you get old enough that you've put some of these facts under your belt, I might listen to how to think and what you think about something. But up to a certain point, I don't care what you think because you don't have enough information to know what you think yourself. And that's one of the mistakes we've been making. And one of my examples from when I was teaching is that we had a parent who really just wanted to recreate the school in her own image, but her daughter was wonderful and perfect and talented in every single area. And we were, the other teacher was really good at teaching little kids how to do art. And the mom was complaining about the fact that she was making her daughter do certain things in an art project. Well, you can't just tell a child that throwing paint at the wall is art and never teach them about perspective. So there's a freedom involved in something like art or thinking or any other skill where you have to know the facts first before you can even have freedom. It's not freedom if you don't have any guidelines because you don't know what you're doing. You're just flailing around in the dark.